Gentlemen, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. My name's Chris. Before we get started, why don't we take a moment of silence for the still suffering alcoholic and drug addict in and out of our rooms, followed by the we version of the Serenity Prayer, please. Thanks, guys. As I said, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. My name's Chris. My home group is the Heavy Hitters group in Charleston, also known as CH2. We meet Saturday afternoons at 5:30 for an hour and a half. So if you are looking for something to do while you're in Charleston Saturday afternoon, come see us. And that we version of the Serenity Prayer is actually, number one, what we start off with, but number two, also kind of why we're here. But we're here talking about sponsorship. Getting, being, and using, and our experience with sponsorship. And I thought before we got too far rolling into sponsorship, one of the things that sponsorship means to me is getting in and jumping right into this deal, and almost by blind trust, saying that I need some help from somebody from whom a message I heard and I liked. And then growing from there. One of the things that happens with our sponsorship tree is that a lot of my sponsorship tree, anyway, this is part of our tree. So if I can get our guys to come on up real quickly, and I want to show you how this thing grows. Come on, Tyrone, don't be shy. All right. Yeah, no, this is not multi-level marketing. So this is, like I said, I mean, this is how this thing grows. And I'll introduce you to these guys. I'll let them introduce themselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. But my grand sponsor.
I'm Sam. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
And my sponsor.
I'm David. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Stand up. And I've got a couple of sponsee brothers.
Alcoholic. My name is Tyrone.
Who else?
Tommy. Tommy, addict, alcoholic.
All right. And then we've got some, and I'm going to let you guys go down and tell you where you guys are in the lineage, but the rest of these guys are sponsees and grand sponsees. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the privilege of sponsorship right here. So take it away and just pass the mic down as you go.
My name is Orlando, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Orlando. Who's your sponsor, Orlando?
Tony.
There you go.
All right, thanks. I'm Tony. I'm an alcoholic, and my sponsor is Joe.
My name is Joe. I'm an alcoholic, and my sponsor is Tyrone.
Sean, I'm an alcoholic. My sponsor is also Tyrone.
Kelly's.
I'm Kelly. I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and my sponsor is Chris.
Just pass it.
Ryan, alcoholic addict. My sponsor is Chris.
My name is John. I'm alcoholic. My sponsor is Ryan.
Adam, addict, alcoholic. My sponsor is Ryan.
Brian, alcoholic. I've been told that I'm a truly grand sponsee. Is that right, Chris?
You are.
Chris is my sponsor.
Jim, alcoholic. My sponsor is Chris.
And I think that's it. So by my count, is that 14 of us that are here? So, guys, how many? 15? I came by this because my first sponsor decided to rewrite his story, and what I think is important about this is that as soon as that happened and I found out about this, I found out just shortly after I got back from the workshop, and I had heard something from Dave at that workshop, and I couldn't wait around. right? I had to do something because I couldn't be without a sponsor, because if you're an alcoholic like I am, being without a sponsor is bad news. That's being in my neighborhood alone. And so I called Dave, and so that's how it goes from there. So, guys, thank you all very much. Yeah. Yeah. Especially you, Dave. So, a little bit about sponsorship. First, for any of you guys that are here that are new and have questions, I picked up some of the AA literature. It's sponsorship. It's all down here, so if you want, feel free to come down and grab it now. You're more than welcome. Either grab it now or grab it after the meeting. But the interesting thing is that aside from the 12 and 12, how many times is sponsorship mentioned in the Big Book? None. Verse 164. None. None. Now, what is mentioned? Anybody know? Working with others. Actually, it's mentioned 128 times in the book. And I think what's important about that is, you know, the version of sponsorship that that came up out of the program, as best as I could tell, and that's actually discussed in the pamphlet here, but it came out of that working with others, and it came out of exactly what we just saw, right? And the version of sponsorship that we know it now, as best as I could find out, started about 1948, as I recall. And there are any number of websites that you can go to look it up. But I think what's interesting about it, and I'm going to read just a couple things. First of all, in the foreword to the first edition, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And what I think is interesting about that is that if I'm going to show somebody else how to recover, I better read the book, number one. But number two, if I'm going to recover, I've got to be able to pass that along. And that's got to continue. And that lineage, that sponsorship lineage, I think, is absolutely vital. The other things that I had marked in there on page 14, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. As I said, my experience with sponsorship, when I first came into the program, I was told to get a sponsor. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to look for. I just knew that when I came back in this last time, my sobriety date, by the way, is April 1st of 2003. That is a redo sobriety date. The one right before that was in August of 2002. But I came in, and what was suggested to me was go in, rush headlong into getting at least a temporary sponsor, somebody that you can talk to. Guys, for me, that was not my experience. Number one, I was not that trusting. Okay, the way I drank and the way I used drugs, I was not going to rush right out and get a sponsor that day. All right, but what I did do is I sat back for a little while and I waited for the first person for whose story I could identify with, and whose story I could get something out of. And I didn't have to know him, but I did have to at least believe in what he was saying. And I found a guy fairly early on, but I started with him as a temporary sponsor. Okay? The temporary sponsor thing for us actually turned into, without my even discussing it with him, into actual sponsorship. Now, the sponsorship part of it, again, when I first started with him, it was very benign, you know, calling him on a pretty regular basis, keeping connected to him, and we started going through the steps. And then about the, halfway through the second step, he said, are you really interested in doing this? And I said, yeah, I thought I was, right? He said, well, yeah, but as far as I know, I'm your temporary sponsor. I said, all right, well, yeah, why don't you be my sponsor? Anyway, long story short, as I said, he decided to rewrite his story. And that was about 2.5 years into my sobriety. And by that 2.5 years in, I knew that I just could not be, as I said, without somebody to bounce my ideas off. Because for me, my first reaction and my first idea to most everything is not a good one, I can assure you. All right? And in that first 2.5 years with my first sponsor, I had gone through all 12 steps, and we had started back on some other step work. But the one thing that I was missing out of that first 2.5 years was other sponsees. And I just couldn't carry a message. I don't want to get in why, but it's like singing in the shower. I was good at that, but nobody else wanted to hear it, right? Same thing with my message in the rooms. Nobody else wanted to hear it, right? And so after that period of time, and after my working with Dave, I approached Dave and I said, "Hey, listen, how about you sponsor me?" He said, "All right." And you know how that conversation went, right? It was, "Well, yeah, you know, I've already had one sponsor. I've already gone through the 12 steps. You know, so we don't need to do that." And you know what his answer was, right? Right. Right. So we go through the 12 steps, and we've been through them a couple of times. And actually, as a tree, we, over the years, we have gone back and studied on various and sundry occasions. We've gone back and studied each step. Now I get the privilege of actually going through that with my guys. Right? And a couple of my sponsees have all been through the 12 steps, and a couple of them are starting to go back through right now. And I think that that's a pretty phenomenal thing. And the other thing that I get out of that, guys, what it talks about in the book about the fellowship growing up about you, right? This is an experience you must not miss. If you drank and drug like I did, let me back up for just 2 seconds. And I don't mention drugs a whole heck of a lot, but one of my favorite drugs was hallucinogenics. And what I liked about it was a very singular experience, right? My experience was not going to be like yours, but it also meant that I didn't have to talk to anybody. I really didn't. I could drop a whole lot of acid, and then we could just not talk, and that was fine by me, right? I'd be sitting right next to you. But that was also the way I drank. Right, to the real people. Oh, I talked to all the fake people for sure, and the unicorns and all that other stuff, right? But, you know, that was also the way I drank. And towards the end of my drinking career, I mean, I was drinking in a bar at least to get started before I'd go home and do my real drinking. But in a bar, I was likely sitting right next to you. But I could have cared less that you were there. And moreover, and probably even more disturbing, is that I didn't expect you to care that I was there. Right? I had no connection whatsoever to you. I was completely disconnected. And that was the second part, in my opinion, of that spiritual malady. I mean, the spiritual malady is that disconnect from my belief in a higher power and that disconnect from that higher power. But it's also that disconnect from you. Because if I'm disconnected from you, then I have no reason for a higher power, right? And that's why I drank. So when I came back in, and when I got plugged in and willingly walked in and said, "I need help. I do not know how to do this thing. Somebody please show me." Okay? That was the being part, right? I'd already gotten the getting part down. Now I was being, and we were going through the steps, and now we're to the having part, because I have sponsees of my own. And we are connected as a sponsorship tree, and it gives me that fellowship that it talks about in the book that I crave. And I crave it because, as I've said on many occasions to a lot of my guys, I hear the message from my higher power more loudly and more clearly through those guys than I hear it anywhere else. Right? And part of the neat thing, at least for our sponsorship tree, and I think part of the reason that the Rock is as big a part of our sponsorship tree as it is that because this is a group of 427 guys, somebody needs to correct me on that number if I'm wrong, but 427 guys here this weekend on an incredible piece of property doing one thing, and that's trying to get sober and carry the message to one another and understand how to do it and how to do it better. Right? And that's a pretty incredible deal for a guy like me, who had no use for a guy like me, to be honest with you, had no use for you, you know? I'll finish up by saying this. You know, there's a lot that's discussed about what sponsorship is and what it is, and, you know, I'm a firm believer that if I am telling you how to get sober, I am carrying the disease of alcoholism. If I am telling you how I got sober, I am carrying the message of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm not a big believer in telling you what to do. However, I will make some suggestions that have worked for me, okay? And these were heavily suggested kind of things, right? Now, I have to leave it up to these guys to do them, but I can tell you without reservation that the guys that are sitting here in our tree that are looking back at me, they know what I'm talking about, and they're actually doing the deal, you know? Because they walked in with the same look on their face as I did when I walked in 2002. And that look is, man, I am so done. And I don't care what you tell me I have to do. If it's within the level of the law, I'm willing to do it. Because my answer stopped working. Right? So that's my take on sponsorship and getting and being and having. I appreciate y'all listening to me for a little bit, and I'll turn it over to the co-chair, Kevin.
Hey, guys. My name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic.
Kevin.
I didn't know this when before we did that, but we share the same sobriety date, just a few years apart, April 1st. I got sober on April 1st in 1998. I guess April Fool's Day was a good day to get sober. So that's pretty cool. Attaboy. See, yeah. Our cabin meeting last night, we went around the room, and most of the room was either getting sober in April or in June. It was kind of a weird dynamic. Anyway, this whole idea of sponsorship is super important to me. I believe that all of my understanding of sponsorship has come from experience, and some of my experience has been good. Some of it has been bad. My first sponsor... it was an interesting little story. I stand around the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is before I picked up my last white chip. I had about 90 days sober. I'm kind of a cool kid. I finally took down the don't screw with me armor, and I'm starting to socialize a little bit now. And this buddy Bob of mine, getting to know him a little bit, he says, hey, Kev, you got a sponsor? Well, I'm still living with Mom, and... she's been an Al-Anon her whole life, so we kind of talk about the steps. So in essence, I was sponsoring myself for the first 3 months at that time. And you know the old saying, if you're sponsoring yourself, your sponsor's a... Yeah, and so I'm being sponsored by an idiot, reading a book and not having a spiritual experience as a result of reading the steps. And wondering why I'm uncomfortable, restless, irritable, and discontent. One of the things I heard at meetings early on where I got sober was there were three meetings for every meeting. The meeting that happens before the meeting, the actual meeting, and the meeting after the meeting. And I like those meetings before and after much more than I like the meetings for whatever reason. When I got sober, I had purple stoner glasses on. I'd come in with a silk vest and no shirt on underneath, and I'd stand there with the don't screw with me look. I don't want to talk to you, man. I just want to get sober and leave me the hell alone. And that's how I felt, man. I was broken. I was damaged goods. And so a guy like Chris would be standing around with his little posse of sponsees and his sponsor over there, and they're talking all this stuff about God and the big book, and I'd be over here kind of ear hustling up to him. I don't want to be involved with the conversation, but I kind of want to know what's going on. And one of the guys that was doing a lot of the talking, more so than the talking, he was doing a lot of walking. He seemed to be doing what he was saying, which was interesting, because there were a lot of people saying that weren't doing. I could spot that crap. I got a gift to see the BS, man. I don't know if y'all got that gift, but I see it, man. I'm like, oh, that's crap right there. But this guy I never said that about. And so I would ear hustle a little closer and a little closer, and ultimately I ended up inside that little circle talking with him. And this guy, they called him Big Book Steve. Half the room hated him, half the room loved him. Because he was a big book guy, man. He believed in the Alcoholics Anonymous. It got him sober. And he had like forever sober at the time. Like I remember thinking, like that is the longest. I mean, I can't imagine having 6 years sober. And so this guy was like this up on this mountaintop, and he would, in my mind, come down into the parking lot with us lowlifes and sit around, drink coffee, and smoke cigarettes with us. And he was willing to do that, and I thought that was cool. It was about, I don't know, maybe another month after that guy asked me about who my sponsor was, and I told him it was my mom, and he laughed at me and told me I needed to get a real sponsor, that I finally asked Big Book Steve. And it was tough, man. I was at a clubhouse in Syracuse, New York. It was a rainy morning. His home group met at 9 o'clock. I went and saw him there and intentionally to ask him to be my sponsor. And standing in the parking lot, a little drizzle coming down. It's kind of nasty cold. Syracuse weather just always sucks all year round. And I'm a little shivering, but I'm sweating. And I'm nervous, man. It's like asking a girl out on a date, man. I wasn't comfortable with this, and I was like, "Will you be my sponsor?" And he, you know, what he did, man. The first thing this cat did, he was standing in the parking lot. He says, he points back at the building we were just in. He says, "You know, in back of that building, right behind the chairperson, there's 12 traditions and 12 steps on the wall." He says, "What's the first tradition say?" Shit, I got 4 months. I don't know. You know, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I'm just not trying to drink, man. And he explained that my butt and my sobriety depended on me getting involved with Alcoholics Anonymous in a way that I haven't been doing it. And that Alcoholics Anonymous was the most important thing in his life. And if I wanted what he had, I ought to learn how to make that the most important thing in my life. And I always hear all the time, man, this idea that, you know, I don't want to make AA my whole life. Geez, I didn't get sober just to be in AA meetings all the time. You know, and so they people have their life, and then they have AA and sobriety. And every once in a while they visit. And I was telling a guy earlier today, I said, "I'm a little different, man. I got AA is like in the center of the bullseye of my life. And everything else radiates out from that." I dated this girl briefly. While she was in the domestic violence shelter, I had 4 months sober. Everybody told us it was a bad idea. I remember sitting in her pickup truck, and I said to her, kind of enjoying hanging out with you, but I got to tell you, man, this is after my last white chip, and I got sober again and ran back through the steps and was trying to get my life on point, and I knew I couldn't do things the way I had done them before that last white chip. And I said to her, I said, "You can't ever be number one in my life." And that's not something you tell a girl on like the second or third date, especially when you're trying to get laid. Am I right? And that woman just texted me. We've been together for the last 18 years. That's my wife. She said, "I hope you're enjoying the workshop, babe. I'll see you tomorrow. And we're going to go home and see our little grandbaby. And life is good because she still ain't number one in my life. My recovery is the most important thing in my life," and that's one of the things that Steve told me on the very first day he took me on as his sponsee. Now, I've had four sponsors since. I moved away from New York, moved down here to Florida. I've been down there to Florida. We're in Georgia, right? Yeah. And I've had three other sponsors since I was in Florida. All of the sponsors that I have 25-plus years or thereabouts, except for one of them who's got about 90 days right now. Each one of those guys has taught me some invaluable lessons about what to do and what not to do in recovery. I think I might have learned a little bit more over the last few years about the one guy who's got 90 days and all the other ones. Sometimes we get pretty big and prideful. We get to do a workshop with the microphone at the Rock, man. We're cool kids up here, man. The ego flares up. We become important people. And we lose the essence of what Alcoholics Anonymous in that first tradition says is, man, my butt depends on me being a servant, not somebody who's special. I spent my whole life trying to be special, trying to be the victor, trying to be the winner, trying to be everything, man. And what I have to do is learn how to gain some true, genuine humility. Not humiliation, but humility. That I ain't so damn important. That Alcoholics Anonymous is more important than I am. That's why this whole idea of anonymity has really got very little to do with whether you know my last name or not, but it's got everything to do with how humble I am And am I willing to just say, I'm a member of AA. I'm just one of you guys. I ain't any better. I don't matter how many years or this or that. Ain't none of us drinking today, I hope, right? At the Rock wouldn't be a good place to pick up a white chip. So, don't drink today. That's a good point. But all of these guys through the years, they've all had one thing in common. That we've trusted and believed in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just want to kind of dispel some of the rumors of some stuff that we hear. Who's in the market for sponsorship? Raise your hand. Or who doesn't have a sponsor in this room? All right. Who knows anybody that is from your home group? You know there's some guys out there. You've been eyeballing them. You want that guy? No, I want that guy. I'm going to go talk to that guy, right? Some of the things that we have heard, I have heard through the years when I'm looking for a sponsor. Like, what is a sponsor? How do you know? You hear these guys say, I got a good sponsor. Like, what's mine? He's trash, you know? What is a good sponsor? Some of the things we hear when looking for a sponsor, and I'm glad Chris brought us these pamphlets because they give us a little lowdown of what AA thinks. You hear the suggestion, pick somebody who has what you want. Now, I'm 14 hours away from my last sweat session off a detox, right? And I come to a meeting and they're talking about sponsorship, and my mind is so destroyed from drinking that I haven't been able to sleep for 9 days, and I'm crazy. And I don't know nothing about AA, and some cat tells me, pick somebody who has what you want. So I look for the guy with the Corvette and a wife who's a swinger. That's what I want. What I have learned is that it's kind of like used car shopping. You got to test drive these suckers a little bit, man. Get on the phone with them. Ear hustle up to their conversations in the parking lot. Pay attention to how they treat their wives, man. Pay attention to how they talk to the newcomer women. Not that I'm in charge of anybody's sex life, but there is something that stands out to me to some guy who's going to be hunting down the new chicks. Just speaks volumes to a guy like me. And in terms of what I want out of my life, I paid attention to that. And are they taking what they say at meetings into application in their life? You know, I mean, are they using the steps in all their affairs like they say they do when they share for 3 minutes at a meeting? I researched these guys, man. This is a big deal. I told you, the first guy I asked to be my sponsor, I was nervous about. My palms were sweating. It was a big deal to me. I don't want to screw this up. I do not want to die of alcoholism, and I want to get the right guy I can fit with. And Chris said something real important, and the book talks about it. You know, one of the key pieces of my recovery that I'm staying sober on is that I have been given a gift of sobriety. That, how do you know if somebody's had a spiritual awakening? Here's what I heard. They can't help but give it away. That's how you know somebody's had a spiritual awakening. They want to pass it on. And I want to pass it on because it feels good to pass it on, but my butt depends on it. And my butt depends on making sure Alcoholics Anonymous stays Alcoholics Anonymous and doesn't become everything under the kitchen sink anonymous. Because I drink alcohol until I die. And I need to come to a place where I can relate with people who drink themselves to death. And sometimes we get lost a little bit with our subject matter because, well, I didn't just drink. Well, neither did I, too. But I have alcoholism, and we need to be talking about alcoholism. And not so much maybe your inner child or your broken down car. You know, I need to be talking about the disease of alcoholism. And so I'm looking for somebody who wants to pass on what was given to them to me. Once they pass it on to me, I something happens inside of me. I want to give it away to somebody else. And then the real joy, one of the things the book talks about, one of the real joys, check this out, man. It's just what the book says in the chapter Working with Others. In the first couple paragraphs, it talks about this idea that life will take on new meaning. To see others recover, to watch them build a fellowship and then go about helping others. I got this text message today from this little chucklehead I've been sponsoring for a couple years, and he says, Oh, man, we went back and forth talking about it for a while. Let me scroll to. I can't find it. But anyway, the message is, holy crap, that book was right. This feels so good. I just did a fifth step with a guy and I'm on cloud nine. And I said, well, what do you think we've been telling you all this time? And there's a joy in helping others. And I've got to be careful, me personally, I've got to be careful that the message that I'm carrying is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. It says, carry this message. And there's, you can interpret that any way you want. You know, you hear the old saying, you know, I work my program, man. I work my program. My program gets me drunk. This message out of this book has kept me in good stead since April 1st of 98. When I came back from that last drunken suicide attempt and I realized that tiptoeing and dancing around and picking and choosing an a la carte in Alcoholics Anonymous was deadly for me, I decided I better just shut up, follow the instructions, or I'm a dead man. And as much as I tried to commit suicide, I didn't want to die. Anybody relate with that? You know, and I didn't really want to die, but I couldn't stand sobriety. And I was mad at AA, man. I was mad at God and the holy freaking Roman Catholic Church, too. Because none of this stuff kept me from that relapse. But that same sponsor who I had, Big Book Steve, took me back under his wing. And he got me right back into the steps. And we got to digging into that truth and the truth of the matter. And it's for so many of us who have ever relapsed. The truth of the matter is I was doing Kevin's program. I wasn't doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was 6 days sober, crying in his car, coming off my last detox. And what he said to me was very profound. He was usually a gentle man, usually very kind. And he just shot straight with me that day. He says, Kevin, you've been coming around Alcoholics Anonymous for 3 years. I'll give the edited version. He said, when the heck are you ever going to join it? And I realized that I had not been doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And somebody who, he's this short little roly-poly guy. I mean, I could have kicked his hind with no problem, man. I'm a big, tough guy. I'm a bouncer at a bar. I got a second-degree black belt. I'm a championship kickboxer. And I'm crying in his car. And he disrespected me by telling me that. You know? And in between the tears and the sobs and the desire to smack him in his mouth, I realized he was right. And for a guy like that to be man enough to tell a guy like me the truth, that's what I think a sponsor is. And I guess the real challenge for me today, the sponsor I have now, I had for a few years, I got him because my last sponsor relapsed. And he became kind of big for his britches. He lost sight of the prize. He lost sight of that first tradition of what's the most important thing in his life. And I needed a new guy. And I had been fishing with this guy. He was sort of my fishing sponsor, teaching me how to bass fish. And while we're out on the boat, we're talking. You know, he had 20-something years at the time, and you know, I had 15 or so. And we just talked, and we related, and we would laugh, and we would talk about God. And it's just kind of interesting. Sometimes when a student is ready, the teacher appears. You know, and I had never hung out with that guy before much. In fact, I didn't like him. Didn't vibe with him at all. And one day out of the blue, he said, hey, I'm taking my boat out. You want to go? Now, I want to go fishing, but I don't really want to go fishing with Lou. Right? But I'll go. And what has happened is it's blossomed into a pretty cool friendship. I ultimately ended up asking this guy to be my sponsor, and I trust him with my truth today. I trust him I have the capacity to tell him when I'm broken inside, when I'm feeling disgruntled, when I don't like what's going on in my home group or on Facebook, right? And I'm disturbed. And I tell him that stuff. But ultimately, I think sponsorship, probably the most important piece of sponsorship for me, is the thing I get the most benefit from is that I have a responsibility to demonstrate how the 12 steps work in my life. And part of the steps is in sharing in confidence the ugly truth about myself, right? And it tells me not only do that step 5, it tells me to continue doing that step 10 on a daily basis. And so one of the cool things about sponsoring guys that first sponsor, Big Book Steve, did when we did our first fifth step was he told me some stuff about himself that was like horrifying. And I didn't understand why. But what he was doing was showing me how he gets honest. And through the years, he would tell me some stuff about his marriage that I thought was pretty private, man. Like, he went through a divorce and ended up remarrying that girl. You know how alcoholics do. We divorce them and remarry them over and over again. And he did that. And he would talk to me about that. And I didn't understand why are you telling me about your problems? You're my sponsor. You're supposed to have the damn answers. So one of the things I've learned how to do now is sit down with my sponsees and I tell them about my stuff. And what's crazy is sometimes I get more out of them than I do calling up my sponsor. Because I'm just practicing the principles of being honest, telling the truth, and passing on my experience. And there's nothing more frustrating in my life than to have a perfect sponsor. Guy who never screws up. Somebody who never messes up. I never hear how he handles anything because there's nothing ever wrong in his life. I like the guys who like to twist it up a little bit, man. Who like to make some stupid mistakes. Who like to get financially tied up in a knot and have to watch them get out of it. You know? The guy I have now has had some real troubles with women. And when I first met him, one of the reasons why I didn't like him was because he was a little dirtball in the rooms of AA. Now, after growing up a little bit more, after talking about it at meetings, I used to get sick of hearing him talk about it. But he's, you know, happily remarried to this woman again. I don't know what it is. All my sponsors, they like to remarry the same chick. But he's remarried and he's living a good life. And he's a part of our home group and he's a pleasure in my life. So one of the cool things, I just want to read this. Early on in the chapter, there is a solution. It talks about this idea of how I'm supposed to behave in terms of sponsorship. What I should be looking for in a guy that I need as a sponsor. And it comes way before the chapter on sponsorship. They don't say sponsorship, but they mean sponsorship in working with others. It's in there as a solution, and it's talking about how we make that attraction. And ultimately, it comes down to exactly what that guy was doing, Big Book Steve, in the parking lot with those styrofoam cups and the cigarettes, standing around just BSing after the meeting, is what he was doing. And it says, and this is great advice for a guy like me, it says that the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he's talking about, that his whole deportment shouts to the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no holier-than-thou attitude, nothing whatever except a sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. And I get to challenge myself sometimes because I like to lecture. I like to talk, man. I enjoy it. And I got to catch myself. Am I being a little holier than thou, man? Am I trying to make a point and beat a dead horse? And am I trying to force a role of God playing onto my sponsee because I know better? And that first sponsor told me one day when I was getting all riled up about one of my sponsees screwing it all up again and getting himself into trouble. And he said to me, he just looked me square in the eye. You know how they do every once in a while. You know the truth is coming. It's like, shh, here it comes. He said, Kevin, who are you to take somebody else's bottom away from them? I'm supposed to be helping them, man. So what I realized today is it's just what Chris said. And it's this whole idea. It's all over the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not supposed to tell you what to do. God, I mean, I can't even manage my own life. I surrendered that years ago. I need a God in my life. I don't know how to do this, man. I am constantly seeking direction and guidance from a power greater than myself and from the fellowship and the power inside that fellowship. The last thing in the world you want me doing is managing your life as your sponsor. My job is not to tell you whether she's the one or not. My job is not to tell you if that's the job. My job is not to tell you where you should move to. My job is not to tell you any of that stuff. My job is to say, well, let's write that down. Let's talk about the fear associated with moving to Oklahoma. Let's talk about your sex idea that we went over in that big book and from your four-step with this new chick you're working with. You know, let's talk about that stuff. My job is to guide you in and through and around the steps. But most importantly, my job is to show you how I'm doing that in my own life. And I'm not much of a sponsor if all I'm doing is talking about it and I'm not doing it myself. And I believe in demonstration is what this paragraph I just read tells me to do, man. This ain't about being a good public speaker. This ain't about being on the circuit. This ain't about being the most popular guy in AA. Isn't that interesting too, man? We want to be like an important person in an anonymous program, right? You know, well, I sponsor 400 people. Well, Chris sponsors 407. You know, it's about being humble, and it's about just being right sized, and it's about, can I give you and try to pass on what was given to me? And I think that's one of the cool things that we do with this workshop, the Atlanta Men's Workshop. It's all about, let's give it away, man. Let's give it away. Let's give it away. Let's give it away. And what always happens when I'm busy giving it away is I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid in the spirit, in the mind, the body, and the soul. I feel good. I drive back to Florida, and I'm happy that I'm going to see that woman. And I'm happy that I miss my dog, and I miss my job. You know, I'm ready to go home after these retreats, man. The real challenge is to make my life mirror what it sounds like at meetings. You know, if I sound real good at meetings, but I'm not real good at home. You know, if I make it sound real peachy, but then you look at my bank account and I got a gazillion dollars in debt and I'm financially irresponsible, man, I got some stuff to be working on. But also, am I talking about it with not only my sponsor, but my sponsees and being humble enough to admit my truth? So, in essence, all of that is what I do. And again, I'm not telling you guys what to do. That's not our job, especially in presentation of an idea of sponsorship. But it's always good to have a few minutes to hear from other people. What is this really about for you? And each one of us then, just like the book says, after hearing these things, each one of us then gets to decide whether we want to go on and do it that way or not. And I love what Chris did with his whole posse up here, man, because there's something very tangible in the evidence of a family tree of sponsees that stick together and help each other. It's very powerful, and I appreciate that. But beyond that family tree is this additional circle of friends. You know, my friend Billy over there always talks about how he's grateful for the grace of God and the company he keeps in his sobriety. And the company I keep is an important cog in the wheel that keeps me going down this road of sobriety. If I don't have good people in my life that are walking this message, living this message in their homes, in their bank accounts, in the grocery store, while they're driving down through traffic, man, if I don't have those people in my life, if I don't have a good sponsor to guide me, if I don't have anybody I'm trying to pass this thing back on to, I'm going to go right back to that guy who stood in that parking lot thinking it's a good idea to sponsor himself. And then it won't be real long till you got a whole nother person doing chairperson on their Saturday night deal here, you know, because I'll be gone. And I know that. I respect the disease of addiction enough to know that I better stay on board. So we've got some time. Chris may have one or two things, but we're going to have some questions and answers and some conversations or a chance for you guys to participate. I thank you for the opportunity to share with you and just give you some of my experience. It sounds like most of the group is already on board with a sponsor, but it's good to kick this thing around. This is one of the 12 steps. We don't do 11 steps and then just kick back. You know, I got to give this away. I got to participate in my own recovery. And I would suppose the reason why you guys are here tonight for this workshop is because you understand the value of that as well. So let's take that idea back home with us tomorrow and try to carry this message. Grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.